Good morning. We want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. Get up off your feet and greet your neighbor. It is a joy. It is a delight to be here this morning. Friends and family, the Myers, we want to welcome you. And what a joyous day we have to celebrate 70 years of marriage between Anna Mary and Hershey. So let's give them a round of applause this morning for 70 years of marriage. That is awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. We want to welcome everyone here this morning. We are so glad you have joined us for worship to our Lord. We have a very special announcement I'm going to invite Jake to come forward to make. If someone can get a microphone, keep piling in, move into the end of the row so everyone can fit. If you aren't able to find a seat, welcome. So glad everyone's here. So we're going to have Jake give an announcement about after this service. Is there a microphone available? While we're waiting for a microphone, we'll make an announcement about membership classes. Next week, we're going to have two options. He's going to come right on up front. At 9:30 during Sunday school hour or 1 o'clock, we'll have membership classes available for anyone interested in joining Little Swatara. So we'd love to see new faces joining the church here at Little Swatara. So I'll hand it over to Jake for an announcement about this afternoon.
Okay, it's good to be here with you this morning. One of my mother's wishes was to have her family come and worship her on a Sunday morning. Well, this morning we chose this Sunday as that Sunday. This week, Mother and Dad will be celebrating 70 years of marriage. 65 of those years were here at Little Swatara. We moved to Little Swatara when I was 10 weeks old, and I just turned 65, so that's 65 years that they're part of the Little Swatara congregation. And on behalf of the family, there's probably close to 70 of us here. We'd like to invite the rest of the congregation downstairs after the service for lunch. We're providing the lunch. The youth have graciously done the work for us, so we're taking care of the cost and the donations and all that other stuff. So feel free to come down, and if you can stay around after the meal, my dad would like to share some things about what it's like to be married and what it takes to be married for 70 years. So would invite everybody downstairs after the service. Thank you.
Thank you. What a joy. We do have some boxes of items for We Care packages. We send those off. So February 1st, if you can continue to just bring those items in, the crackers, the cookies, the popcorn, all those goodies to help our college-age kids and young adults to be able to be nurtured while they're in school. We are going to transition into our call to worship, and then we mixed it up a little bit this morning. Normally, we do the pastoral prayer after the hymns, but we're going to have the pastoral prayer right after our call to worship. So it'll be on the screen. It's also on the back of your bulletin. So if you would please join me in our call to worship this morning. This day, do you renew your trust in Jesus, God's beloved and God's presence here?
I confess Jesus is Lord, beloved of God and present.
Do you repent, not for the sake of self-indulgent regret, but to see in others and in the world what Jesus was committed to see, what he came to show us? Will you live in Jesus? Will you love his people whom you can see by your prayers and your presence, your service and your stewardship? Gracious God, in making these promises to you, we reject half-heartedness and indifference. We extend our hands to you. Help us to trust in you and to uphold those who overcome evil with good. Come, Lord Jesus.
By water and spirit,
we are Lord.
By grace,
this
mystery is ours to share.
Amen. We turn now to our time to share in joys and concerns. As we've already stated, it is such a joy to have the Meyer family and extended family and friends here with us to celebrate 70 years of marriage. It is such a blessing to be able to have that testimony and just that example of a godly marriage. And we pray for each and every marriage represented here this morning and just ask God's anointing upon each one. I was at the hospital yesterday and was able to visit Catherine Wenger. She does have pneumonia, so keep her in prayer. She does welcome visitors as well. She's in room 334 at Good Samaritan. So keep Catherine in prayer. And also, if you look in your bulletin, those on our prayer concerns, we would ask you to uplift those during your week and daily prayer time. Are there others that you'd like to share with us this morning? I know I'm very thankful for my wife and daughter being protected as a horse and buggy going around it. A car did a little spin out and bumped into them, so the Lord's protection was upon her and Abby. They didn't make it to the dentist appointment. They were a little disappointed, I'm sure, but I'm just thankful that that she's here and no bumps or scrapes to her or Abigail, just the van. So we thank God for his protection as we travel. Are there any other concerns or joys that you'd like to share with us this morning?
I want to thank you for the pack the pew event that the Meyer family did. I think that's wonderful. I also want you to continue to keep Curtis in your prayers, letters and cards. I have three examples here. You must handwrite everything. No stickers, no address labels. You can put them in Curtis's mailbox, in our mailbox, or you can mail them directly to him if you do not have the address. I have it memorized. He really appreciates letters from Matt and cards. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you. Let's continue to encourage and support Curtis while he's in this time of imprisonment. So let's lift him up in prayer as well and continue to send those cards of encouragement.
Doing a wonderful job. Rufus Bezos is going to turn 92 on Thursday.
And Rufus Bayshore, 92 on Thursday. Wonderful. Yeah.
Your birthday cards. Yes. His address is in the church directory.
Address for Rufus is in the church directory. Send cards to support his birthday and 92 years of life. What a blessing. Any other joys or concerns? It's just such a joy to be here in the house of the Lord, being able to just feel his spirit and presence among us. Thank you for sharing this morning. Yes, Anita.
I had shared a couple weeks ago that our friend had a premature baby. She was 2.5 pounds. She was actually transferred to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia this week. They're unable to get her off the ventilator. She's doing well, though. She's 5.5 pounds now. But if they could, just prayers and concerns that they can figure out why that poor little girl's airway just won't allow her to get off the ventilator.
Okay. Any others this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the gift of life, for the opportunity to gather here at this place of worship to proclaim your name above all names. For we know, Lord Jesus, you have the power to heal. You have the power to give us forgiveness. And Father, we just want to lift up this baby in a very special way this morning, that you would just allow her to come, or him to come off of the ventilator. And we pray that in Jesus' name, the name that conquered death, the name that allowed life to be given to each of us. And Father, we just think of those on our prayer concerns that are going through struggles, those that are suffering from illness, the many viruses that are going around, Lord. We're just praying that your protection would be around us. We thank you indeed, Lord, for modern medicine, and we know that you are the master physician, and turn to you this morning and ask for your healing touch to be upon those recovering, those suffering from various illnesses, and just ask, Lord Jesus, for you to meet each one of us here in this place where we are. Father, abundant love is just poured out as family gathers together to celebrate 70 years of marriage. And we just thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for Anna Mary. We thank you for Hershey and their example to us, and the many other marriages represented here today that have been a godly example. And we just turn to them, and we know that as we pray together, as we seek you together, Lord, that you are here among us. So just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. We pray you would open our minds, you would open our hearts, that we would be able to see the path that you're calling us to. We know, Lord Jesus, you have a perfect will for each of us. And we just celebrate the opportunity to share your good news among family and friends and among those that we encounter on a daily basis. Lord, help us not to be hesitant, but help us to share our story and how you have impacted our lives. Father, we just thank you again that you are here in our presence. And we turn to you now with those things that we have done wrong, those things that we have sinned against you, and ask for your forgiveness, Lord, that we know is offered through the cross. So hear our silent prayers, Lord, during these next few moments. Father, words just don't seem to be enough to thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love that was given to us, the mercy, the grace that was offered to us, and most of all, Lord, the forgiveness. And we just pray, Lord, our lives would line up with the life of your Son, Jesus, and you would help us to live daily, striving to be more like him. Father, it's so wonderful to be here in this place, and we pray that you would just allow us to celebrate the joy of our salvation and the joy of what it means to follow you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we sing together, beginning with a very favorite hymn of Anna Mary, number 580, My Life Flows On. In Matthew 6:25, it reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We know, just like those birds of the air that I am oh so jealous of, they get to fly, that one day we too shall fly and meet in the air our heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. It is a joy indeed to be able to give out of the abundance that he has blessed us with. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the way that you provide. Lord, we consider the lilies of the field. We consider the birds of the air, and they are splendorous. But Lord, we look at our lives and we consider the blessings that you have given us. They are so numerous, we can't begin to count them. So Lord, in this time, as we give back to you, Lord, we pray that our offering would be worthy, that our offering would be given to you out of joy and an abundant heart. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share our wealth with you that you have blessed us with. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Am I on? There we go. The song I'm about to sing is Grandma's favorite song. I sang it the very first time was back when I was in fifth grade. So it's been a few years since we've done it again, but this was Grandma's request. Je t'aime, te amo. Ya tibia lublu ani o heverotka, I love you. The sounds are all as different as the lands from which they came, and though our words are all unique, our hearts are still the same.
Love in any language,
yet look how we're the same. We love to laugh, to dream our dreams. We know the sting of pain. From Leningrad to Lexington, the farmer loves his land. And daddies all get misty-eyed to give their daughters hands. Oh,
together.
Very much. That was very special, very touching. Yes, give him a round of applause. That is such a very joyous song to celebrate this morning. I want to invite the children to join us on the steps. We have a very special guest with us this morning. Her name is Miss Pat, and she has brought a friend with her to be able to share the children's moment with us. So we invite all the children to come forward. Come on up. Don't be shy. I'll sit up here with Miss Pat. Come on forward. I know there's more of you.
Good morning. Hi. Ooh, I love your dress. Wow. Who do you think this is? That's not Miss Pat. I'm Miss Pat. I may look like that, but I'm not. Come on, sit right down here. Okay? This is Victor. Victor. Victor's coming because, well, cool. Red shoes, pink shoes. Okay, Victor came this morning because he wanted to celebrate with Anna Mary and Hershey. And he said, but he was a little sad. Do you know what Victor is? A vulture. He's sad that you know that. He really wants to be an eagle. Yeah, it's not going to work, is it? No, he's a vulture. And do you know how vultures speak? Are you ready? Now that's it, and that's all he says is, boo! Yeah, kind of silly, isn't it? Well, he was very sad this morning, even though he wanted to come, and here's why he's sad. Victor is an orphan. What's an orphan? Okay. That's right, a kid that has no parents. Not only does he not have parents, he has no brothers or sisters or cousins or aunts or uncles. He's all by himself. He's an orphan. Now, part of what makes him sad is because he's here with a whole bunch of people that belong to Anna Mary and Hershey, and I'm one of them. I'm their niece. Do you know how that works? Okay, here we go. You get to hold Victor for a while. Okay, here's how it goes. My mother was Anna Mary's sister. Now, here's a picture from a long time ago. Can you all see it? This is Anna Mary, and this is my mother. She was her older sister. So Anna Mary becomes my aunt. And Hershey, when she married Hershey, 70 years ago, became my uncle. Okay, so I've got an aunt and an uncle, a mom, and then, pardon? You can't see it? Oh, I'm sorry. There's my mom. There's Anna Mary. And then these are Anna Mary's brothers. Anna Mary only had one sister, an older sister, my mother. Okay? But she also had a mom. So if Anna Mary has a mother, that's my grandmother, which is right there.
I think that's your mom and that's your...
That's my great-grandmother. Wow. That's my mom, my grandmother. Now I'm getting confused. That's Anna Mary's mom. That's my grandmother. That's Jake's grandmother. That's Denise's great-grandmother. And here is my great-grandmother, which would be her great-great-grandmother. Are you confused by now? Yeah, you should be, because I am too. Okay? But that's the family, and there's whole bunches of us who are here today to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary. Do you know that's older than I am? I know I have gray hair, but it is older than I am. It's yeah, wow, that's what I would say. I'm not sure about that. No, that is older than I am. And in fact, they've been married 3 years, just about 3 years longer than I am old. Okay? Now that makes us all of us who are related to them, and somebody said 70 of you? Woo! That's a lot. That's a lot of you. So you're all part of my family. Anybody who's related to Aunt Mary, my aunt, Aunt Anna Mary, and Uncle Hershey is also related to me. That makes some of you my second, third, fourth cousin removed on top of, I don't know. But here's the big deal. And here's what I wanted Victor to understand. When you believe in Jesus, you become part of a big family. A very big family. You see that man out there with that little goatee and the glasses? He grew up in India. He was a missionary kid. And those kids in India... Okay, all right. He knows a lot of people from India that are part of our family because we all believe in Jesus. That means that you guys are my brothers and sisters. Oh my gosh, you have an old sister. Yeah, you do. You think you do? Okay. We all are brothers and sisters in Jesus. Whenever you become and whenever you believe in Jesus, you become part of a big family. That means you're never alone. You're never alone because Jesus is always with you, and you can go anywhere in the world and find a brother or sister. Isn't that cool? I've been to India and found brothers and sisters. You could go to South America. You could come to where I live in Perry County, and you would find... You're not going, are you? No. Okay. You could find a brother or sister. So I want you to shake hands with the person next to you and say, hi, brother, hi, sister. Okay, now would you do that for Victor, because he has a hard time understanding he has family. Could you shake beaks with Victor? Hi, call him your brother. Okay. Well, now shake, don't tear. Can you shake his beak? Okay, all right. He really appreciates that because he hated being all by himself. So now we're going to pray. We're going to talk to our Father in heaven, and we're going to thank him for making us part of a family. Okay, you ready? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you make us all part of a family. We thank you for special people like Aunt Anna Mary and Uncle Hershey who teach us lots of things about what it means to be married, lots of things about Jesus. I thank you for them and ask for your continued blessing on them. Help us all to know that we're part of your family and that we belong to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, you can go back.
Thank you.
A man had taken his final breath, and he was meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates. And Peter says to the man, "Here's how it's going to work. You need to get 100 points in order to get into heaven. You tell me about all the good things that you've done. They're all worth a certain number of points. If your total is 100 or more, come on in." "Well," said the man, "I've been happily married to the same woman for 52 years. I never looked at another woman. I was attentive and loved her dearly." "That's great," said Peter. "That'll be 2 points. Says the man, "this is going to be a lot harder than I thought." "Well, I attended church regularly. I volunteered my time and I tithed 10% faithfully." "Wonderful," says St. Peter. "That's worth a whole nother point." "Oh, man, a point," says the man. Okay, I was involved with a prison ministry for 25 years. I went into the prison at least monthly and shared Jesus with them." "Wow," said St. Peter, "that's another 2 points. 2 points, says the man. "At this rate, it'll only be by the grace of God that I'll ever get into this place." And at that, Peter said, "Welcome to heaven." Anyone can talk a good talk about following Christ. Walking the walk is what really counts. But in the end, it's all about grace. Grace, we know, covers a multitude of sins. Yet hearing and doing what Jesus said determines success or failure in our faith journey. We're called as Christians to impact the world through our godly character and conduct. When we squeeze a lemon, we add sugar, we're going to get lemonade. When we bump into a follower of Jesus, love should pour out. And we should leave feeling as if we met the one who has made all the difference in the world. There's tremendous numbers of well-meaning people who have all sorts of ideas for making the world a better place. Teach everyone to read, raise the taxes, and allocate the extra funds to medical research and poverty relief. We all have opinions, and certainly we're entitled to them. Yet, that's when things get a bit messy. Certainly, we can disagree with someone and still show respect. It's what the world calls tolerance. But Jesus has an even simpler, much more radical idea. It's what's known as the Golden Rule. It sums up the law and the prophets, and I've witnessed loved ones near and dear to me exemplify this. It's found in Matthew 7:12. It reads, "Do for others what you would like them to do for you." In other words, as I've heard it said, treat everyone else the way you want to be treated. This isn't a new concept. It's actually said in AD 20, Rabbi Hillel was challenged by a Gentile to summarize the law in the short time he could stand on one leg. And his response was, "What is hateful to you, you do not do to anyone else." So basically, what Jesus does is takes this phrase and puts a positive spin on it. It's a concept echoed by most religions. It's even acceptable to those who claim no religion. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine what the world would look like if everyone, everywhere, lived this out? I can't think of anyone who wants to be ridiculed and made fun of. I can't think of anyone who would want to be talked about behind their back or any sort of evil done toward them. However, if I stand here and you sit there and we gather together with a similar mindset that we'll treat each other the way we want to be treated, guess what? We're lining up with the way God acts towards us. Maybe I'm naive to consider it so simple, but what we understand is this. A person's heart is revealed by the values and treasures they esteem. Matthew 7:21 reads this, "Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven." We can hear the scriptures week in and week out. The rabbis of Jesus' time would applaud us. But as we hear them, Jesus says the decisive issue is whether we obey our Father in heaven. A Greek term for obedience is this idea of positioning oneself under someone by submitting to their authority and command. Another word for obey in the New Testament means to trust. So to hear God's word is to act accordingly. It's a reflection of our character to put them into practice. We can learn the ins and outs of baseball, of football, basketball, field hockey, even wrestling. But until it transfers from hearing how to play these sports to actually doing them, it's only stored information, but it never gets put to use. It'd be kind of somewhat like the golfer I am. I've read book after book on how to play the game, but when I put it into practice, it was just words on a page, not truly impacting my level of play. You see, because we stand in a garage doesn't make us a car, any more than reading and hearing about golf makes me a golfer. You see, it's a lifetime of trusting Jesus and carrying out his word. The more I golf, the better I get. Well, that's at least the concept. But the more I trust Jesus, the more I lean on his word to get me through life, the easier it becomes. It's who we are. It's where we stand. It's the matters of the heart in which Christ has invaded and taken over. It's the difference between knowing about God and truly knowing God by the condition of our heart. Let's take the creation story and add just a bit of humor this morning. On the first day, God created the dog, and he said, "Sit all day by the door of your house and bark at anyone who comes in or walks past. For this, I'll give you a lifespan of 20 years. The dog said, "That's a long time to be barking. How about only 10, and I'll give you back the other 10? So God agreed. On the second day, God created the monkey and said, "Entertain people, do tricks, and make them laugh. For this, I'll give you 20 years. The monkey said, "Tricks? For 20 years? That's a long time to perform. How about I give you back 10 like the dog?" And God agreed. The third day, God created the cow, and he said, "You must go into the field with the farmer all day long and suffer under the sun, have calves, and give milk to support the farmer's family. For this, I will give you a lifespan of 60 years. The cow said, "That's a tough life to live for 60 years. How about 20, and I'll give you the other 40? Again, God agreed. Now, on the fourth day, God created man. And he said, "Eat, sleep, play, marry, and enjoy your life. For this, I'll give you 20 years. But the man said, "Only 20 years? Could you possibly give me my 20? The 40 the cow gave back, the 10 the monkey gave back, and the 10 the dog gave back? That makes 80. How's that sound?" "All right, fine," said God, "as you wish." So that is why our first 20 years we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. For the next 40 years, we slave to support our families. For the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, my apologies, but we sit on the front porch and bark at everyone. Life has now been explained to us. You are dismissed. We do have to ask a question, however. What is getting top priority in our lives? The only answer, my friends, should be God. Each time we obey God, we are making a heavenly investment that'll last forever. But no, we don't do this alone. When we think of what baptism symbolizes, forgiveness of sin, and the hope of living a new life, it's hard to understand why Jesus went to John to be baptized. I mean, why in the world would a sinless Savior submit to a ritual reserved for sinners? Talk about strange, talk about unusual. The best response is that he did it to show support for John's message, for John's ministry, and to identify with the people of Israel. At a much deeper level, Jesus' act may have been a personal confession of the sins of the nations, as well as a picture of his coming death and resurrection. Nonetheless, the message was simple. Make a U-turn when it comes to sin and allow God to do his work. Matthew 3:8 says it well. Prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God. You see, the day we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our hearts were softened by the forgiveness of sin, and the Holy Spirit entered in to empower us for godly living. That same Spirit guides us. That same Spirit comforts us day by day to carry out our lives with His truth deeply implanted in our hearts. Sometimes we have to be on the move to keep in step with God's plans. And what happens from time to time is that the spirit of our own will takes control, and we do what we find best in that given situation. It's much like my youngest son the other day as we were deciding whether we wanted McDonald's or Chinese. For me, the answer was simple, Chinese. But I was looking for an answer rather quickly. As time passed, we too drove past both restaurants and I headed home. And after much wailing, he said these words, "I want what I want." And I thought, "Thank you, dear son, for giving me my sermon." Isn't that a lot like the world today? It's not what others need, it's what we want. Like Burger King proclaims, "Have it your way." But to live in Jesus is to love his people, to pray without ceasing, to serve others in Jesus' name, and to share the good news. If it's a closer relationship with the Father that we desire, all we need to do is get closer to the Son. True spirituality isn't about following human rules, but about loving God and loving people. It's refreshing to see so many friends and family who are committed to this lifetime of spirit-led listening and obedience. We've come to know it's not about looking good on the outside, but realizing God is more concerned about what's going on the inside. You see, salvation is a God thing. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't even get it on our own. Only God can give it to us through Jesus Christ. This life we lead in Christ means often living upside down. We lose to win. We're last to be first. We die to live. Suffering, we've learned, is part of what it means to walk closely with Christ. We can't resist it, but we can prepare for it, as our verses in Matthew 7:24 to 29 lead us. They read, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, because it is built on rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash." After Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, for he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. We ask ourselves this morning, are our lives, are our families, are our churches built on the rock of Jesus Christ? We're much aware that the foundation of a house is critical. It's the difference between the house standing and the house collapsing when it faces adversity. What kid, or even adult for that matter, doesn't love building a sandcastle? When building a sandcastle, it's where we build it. If it's too far from the water, the sand's too dry. It can't even begin to take shape or form. If it's too close to the water, waves crash in and our masterpiece is washed away. Now, if we build a house in which we live by water or on a foundation of sand, it's not very long before the waves crash against it and it begins to fall apart. So it is with our lives. For our marriages to last, to be able to treat others the way we would want to be treated, the foundation has to be set on Jesus Christ. Real faith changes one's heart, and that changes one's life. Not only does this set the course for our lives and married lives, but also for our children and for their families. It's not only we profess in Christ, but whether it's based on a genuine relationship with the solid rock himself. Jesus longs to be noticed. Jesus demands to have a response. We're a people that like to put things to the test. How many of you have a cell phone with a bulletproof screen? I'm the first to admit I wanted to take a bullet and shoot it to see if it actually worked. But the wife, the wiser of the two of us, said that probably isn't a great idea. However, when I did buy that waterproof watch, I put it to the test and took it into the shower. And you know what? It wasn't long before that watch stopped working. Waterproof. Sure it is. You see, results aren't always what we expect. But Jesus claims that when the storms come, the results will prove whether or not we chose the right foundation. Better yet, we can choose to believe Jesus and take him at his word. It makes total and complete sense that when the storm comes, our foundation on our rock, Jesus, will never fail. When we build on anything else and the storm comes, we risk losing everything. It's about our beliefs, our attitudes, our ideas, our choices, our actions, our very lives. Foundations really do matter. We can allow what others believe about us to be true, or what Jesus believes about us. And we know that we're accepted through Jesus. We're valued. We're loved. We're his dearly beloved child, knowing everything he has belongs to us. But most of all, we're forgiven. We're set free, no longer slaves to our sins. I want that this morning. I don't know about you, but that I pray that that is what you want as well. Every time we make a poor choice, we place our foundation on sandy ground. How many times have we trusted in something other than Jesus and fallen because of it? How many times are we willing to fall because we won't listen to Jesus? Right now, this very moment, we can evaluate our foundations. Are we building our lives on that rock? Or are we building our lives on what seems popular today? Don't be fooled, friends. Don't let our houses be destroyed. Build on the rock of Jesus Christ. It could very well mean this morning that we'll need to dig up our foundation and start all over. Changing things that are built on shifting sand, thinking differently. But we need to study. We need to read exactly what Jesus is saying. And believe me, it is totally worth it. When we build on anything other than Christ the solid rock, our emotions will get the best of us. We're impacted by what others think, what others say. Our lives leave us discontent and wanting more. But hear this, friends. All the more we need is Jesus Christ. Emotions no longer need to control our actions. Emotions no longer need to control our actions. Jesus and his teachings will never let us down. They'll never change. They'll never be less than what we need to build on. Don't let old ideas keep you from new life in Christ. Jesus says if we follow his instructions for life, we'll have an everlasting foundation. Building our lives on him is like building a house on rock. May it be so that our lives are built on the rock, Jesus Christ himself. Mark 12, 10 and 11 states it like this. The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see. This morning, I leave us with this thought. Always be aware. Stay close to Jesus and his teachings. Maintain a solid foundation. If you're married, pray together. And whatever storm life throws your way, we won't be led astray. Let it be on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. To him be the glory and the honor and the power forever. Amen. I invite one of Anna Mary and Hershey's sons to come to send us out. And afterward, we'll have a prayer for the meal downstairs.
Well, thank you, Little Sitar Church of the Brethren, for allowing us to fulfill Mother's dream of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ with you. It's been a joy being here. And thank you for being their family all these years, their church family. Matt, thank you for the word. The goal of any church is not just to raise up believers, but to raise up experiencers. Not that you would just believe what Matt preached to us this morning, but that you would experience it and take that which you experience here and experience it on a daily basis out there. So if I could send you out with that prayer, could we do that? Would you join with me? Father, I thank you for the privilege of worshiping with Little Sotara Church of the Brethren, this body of believers that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning to that end that we would not just believe in the kingdom of God, but that we would experience the kingdom of God everywhere we go, that we would take his kingdom into the marketplace, into the school, into the workplace, wherever you would take us, that we would have a fresh understanding that the kingdom of God goes there because we are there. So I ask, Father, your blessing upon this body of believers, this fellowship, that the kingdom of God would increase in them individually, that it could also increase through them in the marketplace in which they live. In Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Back to you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you. Let's pray for the meal. Father, we ask that the food that we are about to partake will strengthen us. It will give us the nourishment that we need to go through this life proclaiming your good news. Father, we thank you for Anna Mary. We thank you for Hershey, for the life that they have lived. Through it all, they have clung to the rock. And they have turned to you and they have sought you out on a daily basis. And what an example it is for us to be able to know that we too can turn to that rock, to Jesus Christ, and live our lives consistently. And when those storms come, we know that we can face whatever comes our way. So Lord, bless the food to our bodies. Bless the fellowship. Thank you for family and friends. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and to be able to share memories and the good times and the trying times that we've had together. But most importantly, to be able to celebrate the faith, the common bond that we all share in Jesus Christ as brothers and sisters. Take us now from this place and allow us downstairs to be able to make new memories and to be able to celebrate 70 years of a wonderful marriage. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.